2 Corinthians, talking about True Grit. Did I ask you guys if you've ever seen the John Wayne movie True Grit? Yeah, okay. I was thinking about doing an impersonation, but you guys are still sleeping, so I won't. 2 Corinthians, so we'll ask the ushers to come forward and the deacons to come forward. Start in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "But we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." So, again, true grit is courage, resolve, strength of character. So be thinking about that person or staying power. Who has taught you true grit? Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, neighbor. Maybe a figure, maybe a pastor, maybe a Sunday school worker, somebody like that has had some resolve, had some staying power, has influenced your life when times got tough, that they didn't fold up like a lawn chair. Amen. So I'm going to quote what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4:8. It says, "We are afflicted." That means we have been affected or we have been struck in every way, but not crushed. So that means we're not out of the game. I want you to know, just because you don't have the same spring in your step you used to have doesn't mean that you still don't have a step. It just means we need to use what we got. Amen? Say that. Use what we got. Not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about persecution real quick. So we was at the bike rodeo yesterday. We was at the camp meeting that we had up there at 5 o'clock last night. It was just absolutely fabulous. We've had to have had, I don't know, 50 bikes up there or whatever. It was just phenomenal. The bike rodeo was great. The tent revival was fantastic. And I talked to one of the members of this church here, and they said, this lady told me that her daughter is leaving her teaching job, her secular teaching job, and she's going out into the mission field into a third world country where they preaching the gospel and has been waiting to go since March and wasn't able to go in March because of the COVID virus. Leaving her job, leaving her world, leaving her family, going on her own to preach the gospel where they don't even receive mail. Not text messages or phone calls. They don't even get mail to where this young lady's going. So when she's going to an undisclosed location to preach the gospel message to people she don't even know. Now, will she be persecuted for her faith? Possibly. Or more than likely, probably. So I want you to know today that the body of Christ is being persecuted all over America and all over the world. But we need to have some resolve. We need to have some grit. We need to have some staying power. We need to learn how to get through tough times. Remember, tough times don't last. Tough people do. Amen. Hallelujah. Give it up to the Lord. So here's why I say all that, because I want to give you the Great Commission. Commission out of Mark chapter 16, and I normally give it to you out of Matthew, but there's a point that I'm trying to make. Mike, listen to this. So our goal as Christians is, I don't want to lead people to my denomination. I don't want to lead them to my pastor. I don't want to lead them to my deacons. I don't want to lead them to my nun. I don't want to lead them to my priest. I don't want to lead them to my pope. I want to lead them to someone who can save them, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And just at the last service, we had a gentleman that gave his life to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, it was powerful. It was powerful. It was powerful. And that's the power of God. So let's believe that the same power of God that delivered this man will deliver somebody today. So it starts in Mark 16, verse 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" Now, here's what qualifies you. I'm going to be talking about what qualifies you, Pastor Jay, and what disqualifies you from being in or out of heaven. Here's what it says. John, listen, it says, whoever believes, it's your belief, your faith in Jesus that makes you a born-again believer, and what he did at the cross at Calvary, when you accept that atoning work and all the blood that was shed, that makes you a born-again believer because your sin that would be counted against you has been removed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So it's important that we get this right, because a lot of times people think it's by works. Here's my answer to some who believe it would be by works. You have this issue with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It is by grace that you have been saved, not by works, that any man should boast. And for those who think it's a works-based salvation, I ask you, what is the cross for? What is the cross for? What's the cross for? Why is there crosses everywhere and crucifix everywhere? Because that's where Jesus paid the full price for a full covenant, redemption of your sins by his blood that he shed there on that cross. That's what the cross is for, to redeem you, to redeem me. And everybody needs to know that news, and everybody should know that news, and it's our job to get that message out, not by works. I don't want to lead you to my denomination. My denomination will fail you. People will fail you, but God will never fail you, amen. We have to develop some true grit. Well, I'll tell you what. You guys are a lot better than that last service that was here. I was just teasing. So let me do a couple more verses here. And it says, whoever believes is baptized will be saved, so here's the disqualification, but whoever does not believe will be what? Condemned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father God, we finally have figured out what it takes to be a born-again believer. And it's to put our full trust in you, in the redemptive work you've done at the cross at Calvary. We ask today, dear sir, that you reveal yourself to each and every person that is here. It was at the service this morning, the service last night, and the 11:30 camp meeting service at North. We pray, Lord God, for divine revelation for everyone who is online today. And we ask, Lord God, today that we remember the people who displayed true grit in our lives. They have been a beacon. They have been a standard. They have been a rock in our lives. And today, Lord God, we're going to put our full trust in you and thank you for sending them wonderful people in our lives. And we ask your blessing over the service and over this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Applaud the Lord. Let the offering be picked up. And thank you for being online with us today. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to do a couple practical things, because we're in the most practical book in the Bible. It's the book of James, Jesus' brother. So the two books that I would tell everybody to be in, if you're a new believer, you've stalled out, you're in a rut, would be the book of John and the book of James. That's the place to start. That's the place to stay. Stay there as long as you want. I told you I stayed in John for 5 years, because when I first came to the Lord, I really had trouble reading, and I had trouble understanding words and things like that. So God just kept me there. And all these different people were telling me, hey, you need to be here. Hey, you need to be there. Here's the deal. You need to be wherever God calls you to be. Amen. So amen to that. So remember, we're talking about courage, resolve, strength of character, and staying power. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy. And when I said that, it was just the first four words. Everybody in the church in the last service went, do that with me. No, don't do that. It's depressing. Don't do that. Count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, stop for just a second. We're learning, Pastor Jay, how to get true grit. He says, count it all joy, because you're getting ready to go through a process you may not like, but you need to be the strong Christian I want you to be so you can witness to a weak and lost generation. Amen. So he's developing your character, and it doesn't come overnight. It's not a microwave thing. It says, so count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And we all know today that we're going through various kinds of trial, loss, sickness, civil unrest, and everything else that seems to be going on out there in the world. It's a time where there's various kinds of trouble, so we need somebody that's ironclad and has some staying power in our churches and in our communities and in the workplace. Amen. And I think some of the people that go to work with you know that you're a Christian. Say amen if that's you. And amen. And you might even have a little bumper sticker in your little cubicle. Amen. And I don't know how all the cubicle thing works. But if I was a Christian, mine would be the office that's littered with all the Jesus stuff. They'd call me a Jesus freak. Do they call you a Jesus freak at your work? Amen. Good. There's two Jesus freaks in the church. So we're counting it all joy. It says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So it's our faith that produces steadfastness. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So if you're taking notes, that's Hebrews 11:1. And when I was leaving, a friend walked up to me and go, Pastor Pat, I took a lot of notes. So I guess I was reading her mail today, so they was taking notes. And man, I'll tell you what, I think these, when you take notes like that, it really, God really works in your life in a special way. Verse 4 says, and let steadfastness have its full effect. Steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Say that with me, lacking in nothing. One more time, lacking in. So if we're going to be out there in the, you know, in for the guys, it's taking down Goliath with the Johnny Hunt study. And, you know, I don't know what the Goliaths there are in your life. And maybe you're having trouble staying, or maybe it's your marriage, or maybe you're having trouble staying away from addiction, or staying away from social media, or having staying power in whatever it is you're supposed to. Maybe it's your job. You're having trouble staying in your job. So there's four things that I believe are going to help you with true grit. And I told the last couple services, I would like to take credit for all of them, but I read some of the stuff in some of my devotions. I believe a good idea is a good idea no matter where it comes from. So I kind of mixed this with what God was speaking to me about. So there's four things, and these four things I would challenge you to write down that'll help you develop true grit. Number one, stay motivated. Say that with me, stay motivated. And I divided that into three things: person, place, and things. Person, place, and things. So the way I stay motivated, if I'm struggling and I'm depressed and I'm down and out and woe is me and all that, the last thing in the world I need to do is migrate to somebody else that is also down and out. Where's the amen section at today? Oh, thank you. I'm trying to say this without laughing, but obviously it's not working. So if you're depressed, you're down and out, and things aren't going well, why would you want to migrate with somebody else that's in the same position that you're in? I know misery loves company, and it's on a jukebox in some tavern someplace. But that's not going to get you out of the jam that you're in right now. So get around somebody that's motivated, that's on fire for the Lord, that loves Jesus, that loves you, and wants to see you on the come up, and is not going to be jealous if you're doing better than they are. Hello. So get around that person. And maybe you can't get around them. At least get on the phone with them. Amen? There's a lot of ways we can communicate right now. And here, I didn't know about this tool because I've never used it before. Duo. Duo is an app where you can see your family member on the other end and talk to them. I talk to my daughter now because I'm on Duo. What a great concept. Did you ever dream that you would be able to talk to somebody that's in another location on your phone? It's a wonderful thing. Hi, Dad, how are you doing? I go, hi, sis, how are you doing? This is fantastic. Everybody's like, this has been out for a long time. You're just now discovering. Well, I haven't discovered it till my daughter went to college. Just say amen. Amen. That's your pastor. So the place I need to go is I need to go somewhere where I'm getting motivated. And I told you, not where they're playing Somebody Done Me Wrong song. Oh, I did find this. I wanted to tell you about that Bible study. It's called The Living Five. I couldn't find my note. So anyways, that's how my life works. Stay motivated. So make sure the place you're going is a place like church, a place like a gym where you can be motivated. Stay around people who got positive things going on. And then bring things into your life that will motivate you. Bring things into your life that will motivate you, not take you down. You don't need to bring more addictions into your situation if you're not motivated right now. You don't need to bring things in your life that will weigh you down anymore. You got enough on your shoulders right now. So ask the Lord to strengthen your back, remember, and not lighten your load. Hello. I think sometimes we're trying to get out of all the things that we're going through, and God's trying to do something extra special in your life. Just stay the course. Look at your neighbor and say, stay the course, Jack. Here's number two. Don't get distracted by small stuff. Everybody say squirrel. And I know, I still don't even know what that means. I just said it because I hear people saying it. And I guess that's when the squirrel ran on the baseball field, huh? No. What is it? Yeah, that's what it is. So, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to get distracted, even if you're in church. Don't get distracted by all the small stuff. That'll help you develop true grit. You'll be closer to the Lord, and you'll get in some of the staying power. Number three, use your energy to encourage and motivate, not try to take someone else down. Encourage. Use all your energy to encourage one another, to get in better health, to get up and read your Bible, to go do things, to walk around, to see the sights, to applaud things, to thank God for all the beauty out there. It's never been as beautiful as it is right now. We're right in the middle of September, and the weather is fantastic. Amen. You know, I got to say this because there was like a lot of bikes there, and everybody was in there like, oh, right, it's just so good outside. And even here's when you know the weather's really good outside. There's always like a midlife guy that has a convertible. And that dude will ride with that convertible top down if it's 30 degrees. Come on, babe, let's take a ride. She goes, it's freezing, put up the top. He's using that to motivate him. Amen? So you can bring those type of things. And here's number four. Don't worry about the struggle. Say that with me. Don't worry about the struggles. Hey, guys, we're all going through something. And if we stay together, there's power in unity. So everybody's going through a struggle of some sorts, whether it be sickness or loss or whatever it is out there. There's all kinds of things. But don't worry about the struggles. God will take care of that as well. Amen? Let's get back to the scripture. So it talks about letting steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So I'm going to do the same thing I've done in all the services so far. So we're going to believe that God will give us wisdom today if we ask for it. So let's do that right now. Close your eyes and let's pray. Father God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you give us wisdom beyond our years. We ask, Lord God, just like Solomon did, Lord God, that you will give us prosperity in the areas that we need and that we can handle. And we'll give you the glory, Lord God, when we walk out of here being wiser than when we came in. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. So he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. This is very important that you take notes here. Let him ask in faith. Remember, faith is being sure of what we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So let's think about all the instability in society, all the unrest in society right now. We believe as Christians that all the instability that's out there in America right now is just due to the lack of faith, like the Bible says right here. And you say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Pat? Just think if the whole world loved Jesus as much as you do. Everybody would be at church on Sunday morning. Amen. And don't you believe that if we just start with church, things would be better? Things that are unstable means they don't have faith in God. They have been trying to drive Jesus out of, like I said before, out of society, out of schools, out of the halls of Congress, out of everywhere. They're trying to get Jesus out of everything, and that just does not work. We don't need more programs and more this and more that. We need more Jesuses in society and more people of faith to stand in a time of need. We need some gritty people. So, and that will drive back all the instability that we're dealing with right now. And I was thinking about that, so I was telling a story. I thought about that as we teach the next generation. Let's work on helping the next generation learn how to figure things out. When's the last time? I'm just going to ask, and you don't have to answer. I'm just going to ask a question. When's the last time your child was outside, knocked on the door, said, hey, Mom, such and such doesn't work. They're out in the backyard. Or they're outside anywhere. Knock on the door. Mom, I can't get the such and such to work. Then you opened up the door and you go, figure it out. What? Figure it out. So I was telling him a story. You know, I told you about my first car that my dad got at me. It was a 1960 Ford Stepside. And I was about 15 years old, and we towed it home. And he said, here's your Chilton's manual. Whenever you get it fixed, you can drive it. Oh, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. Say, figure it out. So what's a Chilton's manual? It's a manual. It's about this thick, and it's got like three motor companies that was in it. It was Ford, Chevy, and Dodge or whatever. And you look up, how do I put in a steering box? And it give you like, I don't know, like maybe two verses or two sentences in there. Take off and put this on. They didn't tell you that you're going to have to get a welder and braze this and fix that and all that and move the engine out of the way. Well, we could just go to the parts store, 40-something years ago. I didn't know that a parts store exists. You know where the parts store was, Kenny? The parts store was at the junkyard. What's a junkyard? It's where all old retired cars go that don't function anymore. So people like blue-collar Pastor Pat Rankin can go and with a couple of his friends and yank it off and get stung by wasps and everything while you're there. And if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. And that's where you went to get your tires, too. So how do we take off the transmission, get out of the car, and haul it back to our car and take it back to our house and put it back under there? It took days and days and days of you toting your toolbox in there, taking the transmission out and getting three or four guys to carry it to your car. And it would hang out the back of your truck. And there was no such thing as a transmission jack back then. Or we didn't own one anyways. And then what we did was figure it out, get it back under there with a 2x4 or something and bolt it back up. So that was figuring things out. And everybody left here going, oh, my gosh, you poor child. But you know what happened? I developed grit. Stay in power. Sometimes we were out there on the carport over in Maryland Heights till midnight under a shop lamp and go to school the next day, still had greasy hands. Maybe even the same pants you were working on the car in. So here's what God told me. I say all that to say this, Mike. While I was driving my bike back from the deacon's meeting up at the North County Church this morning, God said, I want you to bring back old school. He said, because the new school doesn't work. So I want you to know this church is getting back to old school gospel preaching. Because the new stuff just don't work. It don't work. And I want to take this whole church with me on a journey to get closer to the Lord and learn about staying power. And that's what God put on my heart when I drove back here this morning. So saying all that, I would ask you to rise up with me, and I want to ask Ashlyn to come forward here. And I want to share a couple more verses with you and be talking about true grit, true strength, and everything. And here's the deal. If you guys don't have anything else to do for the rest of the day, I want you to grab yourself an ice cream and meet me up at the North County location at 11:30. And we're going to be doing a camp meeting up there. And I'm going to be talking about true grit, and I'll be able to do it. I'll be able to expound a lot further than I can here today. But listen to the rest of the message here anyways. Listen to this. Verse 7 says, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So let's bring some stability back to our families. Here's what I said. This is what I said. Listen to this, nature boy. Staying power requires the family to be standing on something to draw their power from. So we're going to stand on the love of Jesus Christ. Grandma, mom and dad, I want you to get gritty about raising your child. Old school. Quit with trying to be your child's friend. Let me say it again because nobody said anything to me. Quit trying to be your child's friend. You have nothing in common with your child other than they're human beings and so are you. The last thing a child needs is a parent for a friend. They got all kinds of friends. Check their phone. We won't even get into the phone thing. If you're paying the bill, you can pick that phone up anytime you want. Don't ever let a child jerk a phone back that you're paying for. Remind your children who pays the bills at your house. Remind them how the groceries get in the refrigerator. This family, your family, my family, was built on the backs of hard-working blue-collar workers that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we learned that from our mommy and our daddy, and their mommy and daddy taught it to them. Somebody say old school. I want some people who got staying power in their marriage today. All got quiet. Staying power, I'm staying away from that stuff, BC. I'm staying away from that stuff. I'm going to get gritty about my church attendance. I've been saying it for years. Quit asking your children if they want to come to church. Quit asking. Quit asking. Do me a favor, if nothing else. Yeah, God's going to get in the way. I told you about our drug problem at the Rankin House. My mom and dad drug us every single place they went. I don't remember having a babysitter except once or twice in my whole life because my dad put God and family first. If you've seen Mike and Arlene Rankin, you've seen the three brats right behind him in the 55 Chevy. Three on the tree, pink. Oh, we was a sight. But we as a family. Just say old school. Oh, the new school's not working too well, is what I'm saying. Are we okay still? It was time for everybody to hear this one, wasn't it? And I want kids to know what a struggle is. Not having a cracked screen on their phone, that's not struggle. We're going to teach kids what struggle is, Michelle. Heart attacks, open heart surgeries, knee replacement, hip replacement, losing a child. That's a struggle. Losing a family member, losing a spouse. Knocked around for your faith. That's a struggle. Amen. I think God's here today. I think God's here today. So hang on for just a second. I want to be able to lift up this church. I want to be able to lift up the next generation, the generations to come after that. I have a passion for teaching young people, old people, and everybody in between about the love of Jesus Christ and his redemptive power and his redemptive work that he did at the cross at Calvary. We have to have staying power. We have to have churches that are staying open. Just say, oh my, and I'll start preaching. In the cancel culture, you can't let them cancel Jesus. No, I'm not going to say that. You guys ain't ready for that. We need some leaders that want to shepherd people closer to Christ. Not I'll see you next year, next month, 10 years down the road. There might be people going straight to hell because they ain't got a church to go to. Later's too late, Tommy. Later's too late. Wouldn't you like to have, I'm just talking to you now as moms and dads, wouldn't you like to have a church like this on every corner in America? Hold on for a second. I'm not doing a church rundown thing. I don't do that. That's not, people pastor their churches however they want to pastor. But I'm just asking a question. Wouldn't you like to have a church that's open on every corner where the people that did have issues could come into church and learn about Jesus and learn how to be stable? I mean, we've tried all the rest of the stuff. It don't work. All right. And then I'll go to the last verse. So here it is. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So let me tell you what this means. When you're doing good works for the Lord, you'll have something to cast at his feet when you go up into glory. And here's the deal. I was thinking about this. How would you like to... being saved is being saved. But I call that fire insurance. And I don't want to be... I don't want God saying to me, oh, rank... Woo, he just barely made it in heaven. Just fire. Just barely made it in. When I get into glory, I want something along with my family and my church family that I can place at the Lord's feet. God, I've been working for you. I've been preaching for you. I've been leading people to Jesus for you. I've been bold for you. I've learned how to stand. And then I'll close with this. And I'll ask you to close your eyes so that way we're not looking around. How about you if God was to look at you today? And I don't know how God looks at everybody. I'm just kind of saying, would he say that, man, that guy's got staying power. He's gritty. Is that something that defines you, is gritty? Man, what? Mike... I couldn't look at myself in the mirror if my grandkids thought I was a pushover. Did you hear what I said? My grandkids. And you look in the mirror and you say, my grandpa was a pushover. He was a sellout. He was soft on his convictions in Jesus. That's one thing I'm most proud of, I got to tell you. I take pride in that, that I've raised my family in Jesus like that. When my daughter calls me and she says, "Daddy, she says, I'm so proud that you raised me in Jesus." And I'll just be honest with her. She said, "They don't preach it like you do." I want to talk to a guy right now. That's, John, that's the highest compliment in the whole wide world for me. You don't need to give me anything else. If you was to interview the rest of my grandkids and they said, "My grandpa is always talking about Jesus and he won't back off. He'll still tote his Bible and he'll still wave his flag in his pickup truck." And grandma, same to you. How about that, Kenny? Just grit. That's all God's looking for. There's nothing difficult about it. Barb, you just stand the ground whenever they come up and interview Grandma Barb or Grandma Vicky. They know they're getting Jesus. They're just gritty people. Let's pray together. You want to develop that today? So, Father God, all those who are here today that want to develop the true grit it takes to be a witness in my community, in my household. God, we want to be the parents and the grandparents that just wouldn't shut up about Jesus. Right on the bubble of being a little annoying to young people in that area. Help me develop that craft and that spirit through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then let me ask this last question before I leave. Have you received the best gift of all time, that is salvation under the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Bring the house lights down for just a second. Bill? Brett? And everybody else? Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we all attended church every Sunday and we never told our children about the love of Jesus Christ? Well, maybe your kids are watching today. Maybe your children are here today. Child of a mom or dad who won't shut up about Jesus. Maybe all they want you to do is get saved. Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb? Are you born again? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? When the roll is called up yonder, will your name be on that list? There'll be a test at the end of life. Raise your hand right now and ask God to come into your life. "Dear Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior, Lord God. I want to develop a gritty character that I know I can only get from you in the power of your Holy Spirit. Save my soul as I give you glory that I'm born again today." In Jesus' name, his church said amen. Now applaud him like you love him. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Amen.